What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Joining us from Minneapolis Park Board of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Becca Thompson. 7 months into her since being elected, and she's also a professor at Augsburg University. You teach math, right, Becca?
I do teach math, yeah. And actually,
why would anybody choose to teach math, man? I couldn't stand to be a student in math.
Well, you didn't have me for a teacher.
There you go.
Problem. You need more people who just are dorks for math and also love working with people to explain it. It's like the most beautiful thing in the whole world. Are you a fan of baseball? I mean, come on.
I played baseball my whole life. I know my statistics.
Exactly.
Have you ever heard the term, Becca? Have you ever? You're a big baseball fan. Have you ever heard the term "you can't hit your weight"?
I have not.
Okay, that you mean meaning that you know if you weigh 170 pounds, you better be able to hit more than 170. Okay, so I brought this up and I clarified it the last hour, and I got a text from somebody. And it says, Mike, I heard you say you're not hitting your weight. I heard that instead of improving your hitting, you went on a diet. Broom-ching. they got a sense of humor, they do, Becca.
Oh, yay, man. I'm a big baseball fan. Anytime anyone can make a connection to baseball, I love it. I can hit my weight for sure.
Okay,
I can hit like twice or three times even.
Yeah, but you're in great shape too, so, you know. Now, when you're with college kids in a classroom setting, just take me through it. Right now, in this day and age, do you get to engage them a lot in conversation? And what are they most concerned about? How has the college kid changed over the last 20 years?
Oh, gosh. I will say social media has changed, and smartphones and computers have changed a lot of things. It's almost difficult to quantify. Everyone is used to doing everything online. People are used to having the computer in their pocket. As I say to people, that's what I call our phones, because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
We use them like 1/100th of the time we actually are on them on the phone. The rest of the time we're reading things or looking things up or on a Zoom or whatever. And so, I don't know what they're worried about. They're worried about their grades.
Let me ask you this question, okay? Then, because this is a fair question when it comes to math.
Please.
Why do we need many math courses when we're almost, it's almost impossible not to have access to a computer to give us the answer?
That is a great question, and I will tell you point blank. I'll tell you two. You have to wait for the second part of my answer once I give you the first.
Yep.
Okay. First part is you don't. Straight up, you don't.
Okay.
You don't.
Okay.
But the reality is, and here's the second part, is that I firmly believe, I was just talking with someone, it's like I play the piano, I played baseball, I'm not trying to, like mathematics, like, it so links from physics to music to science to literature. I went to Juilliard and I was studying Shakespeare, and I one day I was like, oh, I get this because it's like an equation, and everyone else was like, what is wrong with you? But I was like, no, like, sentence structure, it's all, like, it's a really comprehensive way to think. And so if you learn those tools, it can change your life. But you're absolutely 100% correct. Nobody really needs it anymore. You can actually put a calculus, you can screenshot a calculus problem and find some website to solve it for you. So,
God,
no, you're right.
Dang it, man. Where was that when I was sitting in calc class? Wow.
Right? I know. Got the slide rule coming out.
Oh, man. Well, that's good stuff, because what you're talking about is it's a way to train your brain, is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I call it like, it's like hitting the gym for your brain. It's like, you know, if you want to, hitting the gym, okay, yeah, there's weightlifting is like a sport, but it's not necessarily, it's usually that's the thing that you do to be fit for the other things that you play.
Yeah, you lift weights, you can play any sport you want.
Absolutely. So you do math so that your brain learns how to do whatever it wants to do.
That's the best explanation I've heard. Yeah. Good. I'm going to use that on my kids coming up here when I get home tonight. Becca, the reason we have you on, though, is Hiawatha Golf Course is, mm-hmm. I don't want to say in danger, but they're talking about, and there's a vote coming up, and you're part of this group. There's 9 people voting on it.
Yep.
letting it flood and then redoing the whole thing, redesigning the whole thing. And it's an 18-hole course. It's tradition rich. And redesigning it with just a 9-hole course. A lot of people, I had Tom Lehman on, are saying, no, we can't do that. We can't do that to this much storied course. Tell us where it's at right now.
Well, you know, how can I say this and be sensitive to all parties? Where it stands right now is that the people who want to eliminate the course, and I'll just stay at the jump. Not anyone who plays golf knows that 9 holes is not a course. So I've likened it with my colleague Commissioner Menz that it's like saying I want to play. We're not going to destroy baseball, but you only get first and second base. So it's like, okay, well, I could play hotbox, but I'm not playing a game. Like, right. It's not the traditional game, right? Yep. So those people who want to get rid of golf are very organized and very insistent and have been very consistent. And a lot of the commissioners have been listening to that. And so that's where it stands. And then there are some people such as myself and many others who are, you know, Tom that you mentioned is one of them, who are trying to get everybody on board to say, no, you can't. This is an historic site. This is so much bigger than the space that it's on.
Before we move to the historic site about it and why that comes into play, what would this redesign look like if they did it? How would it function again after it flooded? How would this go down over the next couple of years if they just said, hey, it passed and now we're going to go forward with it?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you right now, and this is let's say that it passed tomorrow, okay, or like in 5 minutes from now. We would not be breaking ground on it for like 6 years, if not 10, because it is so monumental and expensive. And so that is a huge barrier. Sometimes I feel like, why are we even having these conversations? As someone said to me, this is a big plan that goes into a binder. You spent $100,000 on it, and then it goes up on a shelf, and that's where it'll sit. Your 100 grand. Just became a binder on a shelf because there's no way to move it forward. I mean, in the idea would be that you would have these 9 holes tucked away in a corner, up by where the clubhouse currently is, and then the rest would be. I mean, I don't have the plan in front of me. Everybody, when I talk to them about it, they say, "Well, the details can change, so don't be too married to it." And I'm like, "Well, but then isn't that the whole idea?" But it would be like, you know, bike paths and rock. I think at one point there's a rock wall center on there and a coffee shop. And the idea is that you'd activate the space more with different users is what people are advocating for, that are advocating for that. So.
Okay. Now let's get to the history part of it, because it's a historical, for people not familiar with Hiawatha Golf Course, explain why I broached that topic.
I have always kind of known about Hiawatha, but I haven't known the details that I'm learning. And I'm actually like, I feel like I'm a little behind the eight ball in some of this myself. With the African-American community, it was really early. Hiawatha was one of the first courses that could be played. And it even had its own problems with segregation where black golfers were not allowed in the clubhouse. And we recently renamed that for Solomon Hughes because he pushed for that.
Yeah, he integrated it, right?
And yeah. It was like, it's got its own kind of storied history of that went alongside us. You know, I don't know. I just saw the movie, the Elvis movie, the other day. And if anyone's seen that, like, there's all this stuff going on about the, like, it reminded me of just how tumultuous.
Yeah, I know. We forget about it. The Elvis movie. I mean, if you're going to be with the African Americans and you go to this part of town and you go into this club at this time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then when I the whole time I couldn't help but like, see it through the lens of like, my gosh, like this course was a place that the black community felt comfortable going to and holding business meetings and getting together. And I've had stories. People have told me that they would have cookouts every Sunday after they would play a round of golf. It was like the place to go and be. It's so much larger than just the space that it's on in my mind. I mean, if you're going to have, like, again, going back to the Elvis, I'm sorry, I set my brain to Elvis movie, but if you're going to have, like, a lot of those places, like Sun Records is on the National Registry of Historic Places in Graceland and all this kind of stuff, it's just like, well, if those things are historic and it was just a singular place where a guy, you know, recorded a record, like, how can this place not also be, when you think of the integration that it led to within our city and just as it rippled through the upper Midwest. So, I'm still on my journey to really truly understanding. But the stories that I've heard, it's clearly something that's very dear.
What does it take to make something an historical, landmark?
It takes a lot of paperwork, I'm discovering.
But it does, yeah.
And there are some people, I will say there are some people advocating for this at different levels. There's something has to happen with the state. I don't entirely know all, I will admit I don't know all of it, but I do know that something has to happen with the state, and then it can then go on to, like, the federal.
Because, you know, you hear that thing, you say, well, you can't tear that down, it's a historical something, you know, it's been designated. Is it the same kind of concept?
Yeah. Yep. That is that's the idea. Yeah, absolutely.
And when I talked to you last week, this is Becca Thompson, by the way, from the Minneapolis Park Board. It sounded like 5-4 would be the vote if you took it today, in favor of allowing it to flood and changing its current status to a 9-hole course. Is that still the case?
Well, there are definitely things. I mean, honestly, even in just today, I mean, things are moving very quickly, and there are a lot of things that are coming out very fast. I would say that is still maybe an idea, but I don't know if it's as secure as others would like. There are a lot of moving parts. I will just say that there are a lot. There are a lot of moving parts.
There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's like, what I'm hearing here as I read between the lines.
Yes, yes, there are, yes, a lot of things behind the scenes. But I would say that would still be pretty close to accurate, yes.
Okay, last question is not about this, but you represent the North Side in terms of the park board. We just had Jerry McAfee on, Reverend McAfee, because there was a
shooting
in downtown Minneapolis yesterday on Nicollet Mall, and the girl's paralyzed, and it's awful. But on the North Side, you've experienced some of that as well. Tell me how the park board can help alleviate some of that, or how do you see yourself over on the North Side in terms of, you know, helping public safety as well? Well, what can the park board do in functionality to help that?
Oh, gosh, it's a great question. It's a big one, and it's one that I've been engaging in since before I was elected. But, like, I see it as twofold. Like, I really think that we need to get a lot more kids involved in our park stuff, and that's bolstering some of our rec centers and making sure that we have staff to get kids into parks. And I've been in talks with some school board members to connect, doing a better job being partners with schools to get kids after school. I was telling some school board members, I was like, you know, kids are required to go to school, so that's, they all show up there, but then they typically don't necessarily like it. Going back to math, I've certainly had plenty of people who don't like it. But then they can have their neighborhood park. That if you can help us get them engaged where we can connect them to their local park, we can, you know, just help that whole circle at play with the community kids. And then also, you know, just on the pragmatic side, I think it's important to try to, with our budgetary process, get more street reach workers and park agents out there. Just people out there. The more there's people, then the people of good intent in the parks, then sure. I feel like the safer they can become.
So what I hear here is it's not just about creating more parks. It's about creating parks that people want to participate on. So therefore, you have foot traffic and you have good elements.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I have been a teacher for 20 plus years, and saying that sometimes makes me feel old, but like it's, it's, I, I love working with kids, and I have worked with them my entire life, and I know that they're desperate for something to do and someone to give them the guardrails of what to do. And when that doesn't exist, that's when they find themselves getting in trouble. And I just know this because I've worked with them. And, you know, it's escalated to a point where guns are solving everyone's problems. And that's obviously I say that with tongue in cheek because that's not a good idea. But working with these kids and knowing it's like what happened. I didn't even realize there was another one that happened. Was it today you said a shooting down?
Yesterday.
Oh, sweet Lord. I honestly didn't even know. The horrible shooting of like a week ago, right downtown before the Twins game.
Yeah.
Like it breaks my heart. And I also know that these are kids who need deep relationships with people. And if they're not getting it the way that they maybe normally would and could, I would like to see us as the parks, just activating spaces with good mentors in the park, however that, whether that's people we staff or whether that's partnering with schools or whether that's partnering with nonprofits. I know I've been in conversations with a few of them just to get kids out there. I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you throw a ball out onto a field, eventually some kids are going to start kicking it around. And if you as an adult can like stand there and give them some guidelines as to how to play nice with each other, before you know it, you've got a soccer game. And then you do the same thing. Before you know it, you've got a baseball game. And kids want to do that. And I don't care how tough they act like they're going to be. I've worked with, I say kids, but into the college level. And that is, it remains the same. You throw a ball out there, the kids are going to want to play. So yeah, I hope that is something that we can do. It's not something that will turn over in a day because we've honestly, they kind of lost our way a little bit with the community. And so it's a long road back, but I know it can happen.
A long road back, but we got to keep trying, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And being on the north side, I got to say, like, I know a lot of these kids that are getting them. So, like, I've been their teacher because I have taught on the north side. I love them, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and let me tell you something else, Becca. And for the record, for people that maybe have a stereotype with it, these are talented, fun kids, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I love them to death. And it's just, we're all prone to doing stupid things when we're a certain age. But then when there's like, honestly, when there are guns involved, it escalates. Like, I've just seen it.
And then there's no turning back pretty soon, you know?
Exactly. No, and I don't want to, like, they're good kids. They're good kids.
They are. I wish everybody could meet them.
Yeah. No, I do too. Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, gosh, I wish I would have known you back when I was teaching at the school PYC because we'd have this weekly soccer game and it was the best. Like these kids who would be like so like want to be tough as nails. The next thing you know, they're giggling like.
Yep, they're just playing, right?
Yeah, just from play.
Because they're not any different than the ones that live where I grew up in Sibley County, you know?
Exactly. So.
All right, Becca, you keep doing what you're doing and keep us posted, okay?
Absolutely, and you can watch the meeting on the 17th for what's going to happen with Hiawatha next steps. Anyway.
August 17th. Okay, keep us posted, but appreciate your time.
Will do. Hey, thanks so much, Mike. Have a good night.
You bet. Becca Thompson. Nice.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.